Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning and welcome to Fight Club. Woo! Whatever that is. Hey, so glad you're in the room. We've got Livestream and Metro in the house as well. Can we make some noise for them? What's up? What is up? Livestream people, we love you. We love you. So we're in this series called A Fight Club, in which we're basically talking about this idea that if you have anything that's worth fighting, if it's worth having or keeping or creating, it's going to require a fight. And so last week I kicked off the series talking about relationships. So if you have a relationship that's worth worth having or keeping or creating, it's going to require a fight. It's going to require a fight, not fighting against them, but fighting for them and fighting against all the things that we face. And this series is really about that. It's about trying to tap into and lean into this year and accomplishing some of the things that we want to. It's like really going for our purpose and for our potential and going. It's not a fight against people. It's against just the things that we deal with. It's fighting against insecurity. It's fighting against doubt and fear. It's fighting against all the things that keep us from really tapping into and stepping into what we want. And but the thing is all the good things that we want are hard. They're just tough. It's just tough. Like, for example, I think things should be easy, but they're not easy, right? Eating good should be easy. Can I get an amen, man? It should be easy. Being nice should be easy. Unsubscribing to emails should be easy, right? Should be easy. Well, to me personally, I think washing your hands after you go to the bathroom, or drying your hands, I should say, after going to the bathroom, should be easy. Should be easy. They should leave napkins, or not napkins, but paper towels or whatever. They should not make these automatic sensor laser things that you have to, like, oh God, please work. Have you ever done that? I mean, it's the most annoying to me. I'm like, hey, slow, fast, I don't know. I've done the whole Pakistani thing too. Like, is this gonna work? And finally, I've stopped. Like, I'm like, you know what? Forget it. And I've walked out. And it's always when I don't dry my hands, I run into someone. Hey, brother. Oh gosh. Hey, in my head, I'm like, I did not pee in my hands. I did not. It's water. It's water. And sometimes I'll just say it. You know, it should be. Prayer should be easy, I think. Connecting to God should be easy. He's everywhere. Hello. Should be, but it's not. Prayer's not easy. And if you're one of those, you're like, prayer's easy for me. Well, we don't like you. Like, Jesus does, but that's about it. It's tough. But so spirituality should be easy, I think. Connecting to God should be easy. Growing in your faith, I think, is one of those things should be, but it's not. Because if it's worth something, it's going to require a fight. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is this idea of growing in your spirituality. What does that mean? What does it look like to live your life that you're really connected to what God is doing, not just in you, but around you, that you're part of something that's bigger? I mean, we talked about volunteer weekend this weekend, and I'll talk about a little bit about that as well, for sure. But I want to really change your mind about when it comes to spirituality, because I think for so many of us, when it comes to relationship with God, you always wonder this, or this is the internal dialogue: am I good? Am I good? Like, am I good with him? Am I good? Or, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I do this. Hey, are we good? Are we good? Are we good? And it's all about position. It's It's all about position. But I think it's actually not about that. It's about posture. Posture is different. Posture is your stance on things, right? Your the way you approach something, like your pose, the attitude. It's all of, like, when you talk to people and you engage with people, it's really not about your position. It's about your posture. It's like your kind of the way you interact, like your posture. And so I wonder, what kind of spiritual posture do you have in your life? And as you move towards growing and understanding what it means to follow Jesus, and maybe for some of you, it's the first time that you're really realizing that you need to discover your faith, and that's why you're here at Mosaic, and so glad you're joining us to do that, and you're online because you want to know. As you journey through that, I want you to understand that there's a posture that you need to tap into, lean into, and be in, a stance you have to take when it comes to your spirituality. And it might be just different from everything that you have heard in the past. So what I want to do, I want to take you to a passage of scripture that might be familiar to you. And if you grew up in the church, I'm sure you've heard it. There are people who preach about it and talk about it and do a great job. But I want to give you maybe a different idea of maybe possibly there's something else that's going on at play here. So if you got your Bibles, grab those. If you got a phone, grab that. Do whatever you got to do. Get some Bible in you. But we're going to put it on the screens for you as well. So this is Luke, New Testament. Luke, he's writing, this is chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. So Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. And here's how Luke writes this down. This is an account that took place. It starts off, it says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost, what? Crushed him. Okay, a lot of people. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could not find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." Like, I love this, okay? I love what's happening here. So, how many of you just like to be in the midst of a lot of people and crowds? 2, 3. Okay. We understand that. I mean, I like crowds. No, don't get me wrong. I went to the Justin Timberlake concert. Yes, I did. I was the only guy there, but I'm just saying, it was fun. Definitely only the only brown guys. I was like, let me count how many there are. No, there are none. But anyways, a lot of people there, a lot of women there. Okay, and so it's massive. Okay, and I think we understand that when you're in a crowd, it's just gonna get uncomfortable a little bit, and everybody's gonna rub up against each. I mean, that's normal, right? Like, for example, have you ever waited for an elevator, right? And it opens up finally, it comes to your floor, and it opens up, and there's too many people, right? And someone says, "Come on in." I'm like, no, it's good. I can wait another hour. I'm good. Recently, it happened to me. It was and this person invited me in. I was like, I'm good, man. I'm good. Like, I don't think we can fit anybody in there. There's a piano in there and people, and I think that's a dog or I don't know. Like, I don't want to be in there. And the guy was like, he held the door. Come on in, buddy. I'm like, stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. Because it felt creepy. It was like, come on in. We've been here forever. it was like, what are you doing? Oh, gosh. And you can feel like everybody's been sweating for a long time. Like, I don't want to do this. But I grew up in the Middle East, and so there are crowds. And I'm used to people and crowds and cramming everybody in. I get that. What's funny about this story is that everybody was used to this, too. Jesus was used to crowds, people everywhere. Okay, that's normal. But what happens is that there's a woman who's not supposed to be in the crowd. She shows up, and then she touches, it says here, the fringe of his garment. Like, it's just a fringe, okay? She doesn't hug him. She's like, oh, my gosh. No, she just touches. It's like a creepy, sneaky, I'm just going to touch. It's like a celebrity. You're like, hey, JT's there. I'm going to touch his shoes. It's like, I'm just going to touch a little bit. That's it. She does that. Jesus does what? Stops. He's like, hey, who touched me? And then Peter goes, if you remember, he goes, Master, I love this. I think there's a little sarcasm right there. He's like, you do know everybody's touching everybody, right? Like I got touched inappropriately, like back 2 minutes ago. There's a lot of people here. Son of God should know that. Like what are you doing? What are you doing? There's so many people. He's basically saying, why are you asking? In another translation, it says, why are you saying who touched me? Because everybody's touching everybody. But Jesus goes, oh, no. Something else happened. So we keep on. Verse 46 says, but Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. And when the woman realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him, and she was immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So let's go back in the story, right? So here, Jesus is stopped. Okay, now find yourself in the story. Where are you in the story? Or if you've heard the story before, you might have been told, you're the woman in the story. We are the woman in the story. We, a touch of Jesus will do whatever, okay? And heal you, and you just need to touch Jesus and all that. But maybe you're not supposed to be that. Are you part of the crowd? Or maybe something else. Maybe you're supposed to be Jesus. So here's what happens with this story. It's like, so Jesus stops and he goes, power went out from me. Which if you're one of the disciples, you're like, I love this guy. Hey, power just left me. What? What happened? Power just left me. Power just left me. Someone. See, he believed and he knew that someone deliberately touched him. So this is a shawl. It's kind of a... It's a rabbi shawl. It's a prayer shawl that rabbis would wear. Something like this. Okay? So it's a Hebrew. It's got Hebrew writing on it, on scripture, Old Testament stuff. Put this on here. I'm legit. Okay? Okay? And rabbis would walk around with something that looked like this. Okay? Probably not this clean, but basically the idea was that these tassels were very important. And these tassels were called the wings of a rabbi. The reason why they were called that is because when rabbis would walk around, the wind would maybe catch it or just catch some air, and it would look like they had this cape going on. Like it would look like the wings. And so they would look at a rabbi and go, oh, look at the wings of that rabbi. Now in Jewish culture, especially this lady who went around for 12 years looking around for healing, grew up in a Jewish faith and believed one of the stories, legends, or maybe fact, that the Messiah would come and he would have healing in his wings. So when she touches the fringe of his garment, what is lost in translation is she touches the wings of a rabbi. She just touches the tassels. That's all she thinks. She knows. She goes, hold on. If this guy is real, if this guy is true, if this guy could be the Messiah, I don't have to hug him. I don't even have to ask him. I could sneak in a healing. I could just go in and just touch the fringe of his garment. I could just touch the tassels. And if he's real, boom, I'm good. If he's not, no one knew I did it. Because I've got a blood issue. I should not be in this crowd. No one knows I'm here. So Jesus, walking around, wings of a rabbi, someone touches just the fringe, just the tassels, and he goes, wait a second, what happened? And he stops. And then the scripture says this, when the woman realized she could not go unnoticed, that's really important. You know why? Jesus stops. Number one, he was on his way to do something else, to bring some more healing, but he just stops. That's a lesson right there. He just stops. Then he goes, power went out from me. And then he waits around till the woman realizes that she's not going to go unnoticed. I don't want you to miss this in the story. This means there was some time that passed. Jesus stops. He looks around. Find yourself in the story. If you're the woman and you just did that, you're still in the crowd. He's looking around. What are you thinking? Don't make eye contact. Right? That's what you're doing. You're like, oh, I didn't do it. Could it be possible that Jesus was like, spotted her and went, and she's like, and then she comes, she's like, okay, fine, I did it. And here's why I did it, and here's how I did it. I did it. And he goes, your faith, daughter, has healed you. The question is, why did Jesus stop? I mean, he could have just kept on going. He could have just gone, oh, I saw you did that. We'll talk later. I got to go. He could have, but he stopped. See, I think that's the most important part of this story. We have been told, right? Maybe we've been told that you're always you're the woman in the story. That's your posture. You're the woman. You need. Your posture is, hey, I need. And so what has happened is that we have begun to believe that so much that we create communities and churches that always are the ones who are in need. So it's like we're always called to be the woman in the story. And the woman was the one who had the issue. And so that's why we have generations of churches that always have what? Issues. So we're always the one with the issues. And so our posture is, hey, I just need a touch. I'm the one with the issues. The problem is that if you're the one with the issues, and if we are the one with the issues, and if the church is always the one with the issues, we can never be Jesus. We can never be Jesus in the story. And yet, if you listen to the teachings of Jesus, he's basically saying, I'm stopping because here's what I want you to understand. You have the potential of power going out from you. You're supposed to be Jesus in the story. You're not supposed to be the woman. I get it. At times, we're all the woman. But you're supposed to be Jesus. Power goes out from you. And it goes out from me. It should be. That is the posture of spiritual growth. Growing in Christ means Christ is flowing out of you. That's what it looks like. That's the posture. It is us, you and me, owning the fact that, hey, we have power going out from us. That we have been made in the image of God and with his DNA. And what that means is that we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of us. And it doesn't matter, regardless, if you were born, created, everything has this Christ power in it. And you have to identify. That's why you can't treat someone unkindly, because it is God's DNA that's created them. And because of that, we have power. And then the scriptures say, and Jesus said, hey, I've come to unleash that power. And you and I, you will go and you will say things and you will bring healing and you will do all. Power will go out from you. That, my friends, is the posture. But in the story, we're the ones like, no. Christianity is about being the woman. It's about us. The church needs to be. No, as long as we're the ones having the issues, we will never be Jesus. We won't have time to be Jesus. And for so many of us, our spirituality is basically trying to be the woman, and always trying to get. And I get it. I get it. We all have needs. But at some point, we have to turn and go, hold up. I think the reason why I'm called a Christian is possibly that I have God's spirit in me, that I'm supposed to be Christ in the situation. Not the woman. And see, sometimes Christianity could be is basically the normal view is that, oh, hold on. So, no, I am a Christian. I am a Christian, and the church is here for me. Like I go to church, right? I'm a Christian. This is my spiritual faith. My journey. I become a Christian, and the church is here for me. But Jesus' teaching is different. He's like, oh, when you connect with God, when you're not a Christian, you're actually the church, and you're here for the world. It's different. It's extremely different. It's a different posture. Not position, but it's a different posture in life. That you're not the one always, please, please, please. You're actually the one going, power is going to go out from me. Now, it sounds strange, doesn't it? But I have to tell you, you know people that power goes out from them. That's why you spend time with them. That's why you ask them to pray. That's why you spend 1 minute with them and you know it's going to change. They walk through the dang door and your mood changes. Do you know people like that? Do you know people that it changes to the negative? You know why? They're not coming to give you power. They're coming to suck you dry. Okay. Emotional vampires. Okay, anyways. But power is supposed to go out from us. Let me ask you, could it be possible that maybe, just maybe, the spirituality that you need to fight for, the growth that you need to have this year, is changing your posture once and for all this year? Hey, I'm done. Listen, number one, let me just tell you, you're always gonna have issues. I have issues. I got issues. Okay? It's a song. I don't know by whom. But at some point we gotta stop, right? Some point we gotta own who we are. What you're called to be. You're called to be the one that power goes out from. I mean, Jesus died and he left earth, I should say. When he left earth, he says, hey, behold, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Hey, I've given you power to do this. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I mean, he's like, you're the ones. You will tell the world. You will go heal. You will do. He's basically saying, you're the one that hope will go out of. You're the one that love will go out from. Grace, acceptance, faith, power, will healing. You're the one that think all of these things will go out of. You are proof of life. You living your life, owning the fact that God's power living in you is proof for other people that God still does miracles. You are proof that God exists, that his power is real. But you and I have to own that, believe that. So question is, will you this year? In our workspaces, in our lives, will we do that? I love the story how it starts, right? As Jesus was on his way, like it's like it just happens on its way. As you're doing what you're doing, it happens. Could it be possible that maybe that's what God wants you to realize? That sometimes you could just live the life, you could do just normal practical things. You could just be walking to another appointment and have power go out from you. Could that even be possible? See, the volunteer weekend is so important to us because we've figured out that it's the only practical thing that we can create for you to step into that position. I mean, we create these services, right? We gather together, we have music, and what are we doing? We're creating an environment where you can hear from God and worship and invite people to it and learn and grow and figure out what God is doing in your life. But volunteering and being a part of a team, and the reason why we've chosen to be, strategically chosen as a church to be heavy volunteer driven, okay? We have we've got, I don't know, 65% of people volunteering. I mean, people on stage, people back there, everything you see, it's not people who are on staff. These are people who just give and who own the fact that power goes out from them, and they just volunteer. And the reason why we believe that is because if we create very practical moments for that, you can maybe step into that and actually see power go out from you. You can actually see, oh my gosh, I taught this lesson and this person is now in. I mean, I know people who served in MKids and now have seen people grow up to be in junior high and high school and then graduate. I mean, it's amazing because we have so much history as a church. We've seen people like pour into people's lives and see them and contribute in their lives. But these are opportunities that we create. We create these volunteering opportunities for you to step into. So yes, it's like, okay, being a greeter or being an usher or teaching M kids, these are very, very practical things, but they're just like on the way. It's like we're going and doing our things, and then God moves supernaturally in people's lives. The question is, will you believe that? Or the posture is always going to be, no, I need. And I get it. There's seasons for that. Do you hear me? I get that. But at some point, we have to move. If you're going to change this year, your spiritual growth, if you're going to move forward, you have to change your posture. And so a practical expression of that for us, I mean, do this at home, do this at work, do this as you walk, as you're on your way to do life. But in this context, it's really about being on the team, being a part of the team. You know, people ask me, hey, so how do you become a member at Mosaic? And I tell them, hey, listen, we don't have membership. So if you transfer your membership, we don't know what to do. We have no idea. We're going to stamp it with something. I don't know. And then file it, if people even file stuff. Anyways, but we don't know what to do. But I tell them this. I said, there are two kinds of people at Mosaic. People we count on and people we count. I know it seems kind of blunt, but that's really the truth of it. Just being authentic and honest, there are people we count. Every Sunday, every environment, we count how many people came. They have a number. And then there are people we count on. We count on people who are going to be a part of the team, who are serving, because we count on them to do something in our environments. And those people have names. Of course they have names, because we count on them. We know them. And what we realize is that the best way to care for people is if we know their names. The best way we care for people is in community, is in context of community. And so that's why we say, hey, guys, step into this. Step into it. Be a part of a team. Find friends. Get connected. The goal is not to know me or some of the staff. The goal is to know each other and grow together. And I'll tell you what, it will change your life when you go, God used me. As I was serving coffee, God used me to impact this person's life. And I can't tell you stories of people who sit with me and go, thank you so much. I mean, I recently had someone say, thank you so much for Mosaic. Thank you so much for creating this. Thank you. And I'm sitting there going, I didn't do anything. Like, I can't do that. There's not enough power that come out from me. Like, I can't do that. The only way, you should thank the people who just choose to just make coffee and be there and smile. I mean, I know people, I mean, in the last 6 months, two different people who've said, someone told me, welcome home, and that changed my life. They just said, welcome home. And you don't understand how much hope, like I have felt so much hope. I felt like God's embraced me because I had stepped out from the church and all that, and this person didn't know me, and they just said, welcome home, and God just said, here, I'm just about to heal your heart right now. And this person didn't even know. The power went out from him. So I want you to do this very practically, okay? I want you to consider being a part of a volunteer team. If you have one of these, which you should, can you grab these really quick? Please, thank you so much. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We've got different teams. We've got M Kids. We've got Underground, which is our youth. We've got Connections. We have Worship. We've got Production. We want you to step into any one of these. Here's what I want you to understand. First of all, we know you have a life. You have a life. Say it with me. I have a... You have a life. So all we want you to do is we want you to volunteer 12 times. That's it. Can you say 12? 12. So 6 month commitment every 2 weeks. Okay. Every other week, 12 times. And then you can take a break. You can reschedule. You can do whatever you want to do. Also, if you have kids, guess what? You're going to be awesome because your kids go to Bounce U, which is right next door, for free. So that happens too. Here's how many people we need for M Kids. 52 people. That means greeting, and that means check-in, nursery, toddlers, teaching stuff. And the cool thing about that is we'll train you. We have video curriculum. I mean, you just love on kids. And this is, I mean, I can't tell you, it's because of the contribution of so many of you that my kids have grown up at Mosaic. I just wonder sometimes if they even know Jesus because of what I've all said. But I just know that you guys have taught them well. So that's, thank you so much. M Kids is doing their job. Connections. We need 57. What? Yeah, 57 people. That means from tithe people to who count tithes to prayer people, security people, cafe people, parking, greeting, ushering, hospitality. This is a fun group, guys. Fun group. And then you got production. Production, all the lighting and sound and hosting. I mean, there are people who host our online community, and they're not even in town. We've got one of our hosts who moved, who came back for Melissa. I don't know if you're hosting this week, but if you are, oh, she's here. Excuse me, you should be hosting right now. Rich is hosting. Hey, Rich. What's up, bro? Awesome. So, Melissa, can I just pick on you? I've got time. Okay, I don't have time. So Melissa's moving to Atlanta. And she's like, well, I can still host. I was like, yes, you can. You can still host. You can still host. She drove for a meeting, I think this week, from Atlanta to be at a meeting. And I'm like, my wife told me that. I was like, Ashley, are we paying her? What are we doing? Is she on drugs? Who does that? Who drives from Atlanta to come to a meeting? Whoo! You know what? People who believe that God can flow out from them. That's the kind of people. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to consider filling this out and changing your posture, man. Changing your posture this year. This is a practical expression for you to do that. Not just here, Mosaic friends, but in your life. You're going to change. I want to say this. I get it. There are times where you're like, but Naeem, you don't understand. You don't understand how broken I am. But I tell you what, Mosaic is the one place, and we talk about this, is the place where God is taking broken people and making them beautiful. That's why we call it Mosaic. It's a mosaic of broken things coming together to make something beautiful. But what's more profound than that, even, is that God takes broken people to create beauty, not just to become beautiful, to create beauty. If you read the scriptures, you'll find it's the poor that God uses to enrich. It's the broken people, it's the wounded people that he chooses to use to heal others. I mean, it's people who are not talented or foolish, it seems like, to confound the wise. God always uses, he uses like people who deal with so much sin to actually be the messengers of righteousness. Throughout the scriptures, you find that. And so if you're going, I can't step into that because I got to get my stuff together. Let me just tell you, I know most of our volunteer staff, they do not have their stuff together. They just don't. Okay? Our staff doesn't even have their stuff together. Okay? I mean, it's not about that. It's about just owning that God has called you. So, I want you to own and change your posture. Because your spirituality, your spiritual growth is worth fighting against insecurity and uncertainty and fear and laziness and selfishness and all the other yuckiness, to fight against that and step into saying, God, I'm going to do this. Let power come out from me. So I want to pray for you, and then I'm going to give you some time to fill this out, and then you can respond. And our response time is you can go to the cross, you can light a candle, you can receive communion. But first of all, I want to pray for us, and then we'll respond. Lord God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you, God, for us choosing to change our posture once and for all. Once and for all, changing our posture, our spiritual posture. God, for some of us, we are tired of being the one with the issues. And we just need to own that we're supposed to be Jesus in the story. We're supposed to be the one. We are proof of life. We are proof that you exist. We are proof. We are your messengers. We are your healers. We are your prophets. We are your pastors. We are it. And it's so hard for us to understand that. But God, I know that if fear and insecurity keeps us from stepping into that, then we forfeit bringing wholeness and healing to people all around us. God, today we say no to our fears, yes to you. We put our issues aside and we say we have God's Spirit living inside of us. God, I pray, would you lead us? Would you lead us to, as people fill out these things, they don't know what to do. They're thinking, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. God, would you just be a part of that conversation for the next couple of minutes? God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.